Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A week after a left-wing lunatic judge decided the life of a Republican-appointed Supreme Court justice was worth 8 of the 30 years that the Department of Justice asked for, just 8 of the 30 years, no surprise, we get another left-wing lunatic, complete with a manifesto that reads like a CNN transcript. Grievances, ICE facilities, and SCOTUS. Outside what's called the Red Mass, it's very well publicized, honors Supreme Court justices at a Catholic church that several of them are known to attend. This was won by a cardinal. They do it every year, honoring them. And he was just sitting outside with more than 200 explosive devices waiting to kill them. Handed his manifesto to cops while trying to detonate the explosives. What would have given him the idea, Lee, that he could maybe get away with this? I mean, like, think about the internet fame you'd get. Maybe you'd be as beloved as Luigi Mangione, yeah, exactly. A true cult and folk hero, and you only got to serve 8 years? That's, like, actually a pretty good deal, really. I'm talking about Supreme Court justice, yeah. 8 years. I mean, that's not a bad deal. And Senator Ted Cruz pointed this out. Police, and it's just hit Fox News just there, it's breaking news about the liberal lunatic, and again, complete with manifesto, over 200 explosives devices that worked. Just waiting for the Supreme Court justices to come out of that mass. They attended. So, another week, another left-wing loon with a manifesto that reads like a CNN transcript. Here's Ted Cruz saying, look, we have got to stop these judges. We have got to reassert the idea that if you're on the right, your life has value and it's not okay to kill you.
I actually urge the Speaker of the House today to impeach this radical judge who sentenced the person that tried to murder your and my friend Brett Kavanaugh to 8 years, did a 22-year downward departure. And the reason she did is she said the murderer is transgender, so apparently it's okay to try to murder a Supreme Court justice. I think the House should impeach him, and we should have a trial in the Senate. That is not good behavior. It is ridiculous, and she's unfit to be a judge. Wow.
Yeah, she said that because Trump had changed the rules about incarceration, so men have to serve with men in federal prison, women serve with women, that would be cruel and unjust punishment beyond the sentence. And so the judge used that, Lee, as the excuse to say, well, I'm not going to give 30 years. This person is transgender. I'm just only going to give 8 years.
Well, actually, Trump didn't change the rules. Trump went back to the usual common sense, commonly accepted practice of men being in men's prisons and women being in women's prisons. He returned to what, the rest of the world does.
Yeah, well, so that's cruel and unusual punishment. So the judge dramatically lightened sentence. So keep in mind, this person they came with zip ties to kill Kavanaugh and the whole family, only gave up when they saw the security crews and that they could not get any further. So that's what we're dealing with. And it's okay. So Republican life is worth less, we're learning. And this is becoming a problem. Folks, I've told you about the Russian Revolution for a very long time. The power of the Marxist thugs in the streets, and you're seeing those very same people in Chicago and Portland, was derived not from the fact they had big numbers, but from the fact that no one would convict them for torturing and killing people. If you voted as a juror in pre-Soviet Russia to convict them, they would be at your house torturing you in front of your family that night. And so they were absolutely lawless. And they also had a lot of sympathizers within the judiciary. And that's how they got away with it. That's how they got so much power that no one dared speak in public. You saw the same thing in the Weimar Republic in the run-up to Nazi Germany with the black shirts and the brown shirts. The black shirts were the communists, and of course the brown shirts were the socialists. If you were not with them and you try to give a political speech, no matter what you were saying, they'd beat you in the audience. We're watching it again. It takes the justices to create this level of violence. Do you hear what just happened in Asheville? Lunatic leftist, another one, threatened state troopers escorting the Trump motorcade last year with a knife, spat on children, and tried to knife the troopers. That worth any time in prison, you think?
Oh, I would say so, but not much.
Leif Brynjolf Johnson will serve 15 days in jail for attacking Trump supporters, state troopers, and spitting on a child and pulling a knife on police who attempted to stop him. This is a Buncombe County jury, so that's Asheville.
And he was also hassling a military veteran in a wheelchair.
Oh, you know, typical leftist.
Yeah.
So here's what's crazy about this. The liberal jury, and this is the good news, because there would be several liberals on it if it's Asheville. That place is crazy. So they actually convicted him on two felony counts, but the judge went, 15 days. 15 days in the custody of the Buncombe County Sheriff. Well, that already covered time served, and out the door he went, I guess, to get another knife. And I don't know, will he go show up at another Supreme Court Justice Mass or maybe just try to get Trump? I don't know. It's getting to the point, if you tried to hurt or kill Trump or any of us, that is a, you know, a mark in your honor before these left-wing judges, and they'll let you go. I mean, this is what we just saw.
Yeah, it's a resume enhancement.
Yes! This is what we just saw in Sacramento. Guy opens fire into the ABC newsroom, right through the glass, intimidates ABC into not airing the Charlie Kirk tribute. They put it on YouTube. They were terrified they'd be killed. He's got a manifesto in his car vowing to kill Dean Bongino, Cash Patel, and Donald Trump next. He's out in 24 hours. They wouldn't even hold him. And I guarantee you that judge went into those back quarters and laughed her butt off. Thought it was funny. Our system won't hold them back. And so when people say, well, why is the military in the streets? Why do we need to send the guard? This is why. This is why. Two-tier justice on the streets. And this it works the other way, too. We're seeing this now. This is very interesting, okay? You're seeing the two-tier justice on the streets. Nick Sorter, who's a very popular conservative reporter on X, goes to Portland. He's knocked over. His camera equipment's destroyed. He's beaten, literally knocked to the ground and beaten. It's on video. Right in front of Portland police. They do nothing. Because why? Because Antifa is now the highest law enforcement authority on the streets of Portland. When he gets up and walks over to the police figuring, they'll stop Antifa from beating me. I can go there, right, for protection. I played the audio. They arrest him and not the Antifa thugs. Again, folks who lived through the Weimar Republic, which was pre-Nazi in Germany, would recognize this. So would folks who lived through the Russian Revolution. This is how they get empowered. They're empowered. There is no higher authority on the streets of Portland right now than Antifa. And that is why we have to go in. That is what has changed. It's not that Trump's a dictator. It's that this, we have got to stop ultimately this two-tier justice system. You can see it in blue areas. They are increasingly, either the judges or their juries or both, are increasingly unwilling to indict, unwilling to convict, or unwilling to sentence if there's either the question of the value of the life of a right-wing person or Supreme Court justice, or the person's a perceived left-winger.
It's one thing when you have judges that make an incorrect decision after a crime has been committed and a person is on trial, but it's a whole other thing when law enforcement makes a judgment decision on whether a crime that is ongoing is worth stopping.
You mean kind of like when Chicago PD is given the order by the patrol chief not to respond when ICE is under attack and calling for backup like that?
Which is not a right-wing conspiracy. There are transcripts and there's the actual audio of the conversation that is available anywhere you want to find it.
Yep. Transcripts leaked out from the dispatch center. By the way, the prosecutor in Portland who is supposed to prosecute Nick Sorter for not succumbing to the Antifa beating, dismissed the charges, saying he can't prove disorderly conduct by Nick Sorter. They charged him with disorderly conduct and let the Antifas who beat him go. Toots your justice. And this is what we got to break the back of. This cannot persist. James,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Timmy's about to get what he deserves. Actually, much less than he deserves, since so many of his crimes are off limits to us because statute of limitations. And the mainstream media is about to go wild. Talking about dictatorship, blah, 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 and prison political enemies, blah, 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 blah. And when they talk about it, they're going to probably do what they've been doing in recent months, is to try to divert your attention from the second charge. See, the first charge is perjury, lying under oath, something James Comey knows a lot about since he put so many members of the Trump administration and those around Trump in prison for it, in some cases falsely, where the agents involved even said Mike Flynn didn't lie, but that didn't matter. So it is very rich to see James Comey prosecuted for perjury, which he clearly committed, since he put so many Trump associates away for it. But what the media does not want you to notice is the second charge. They're not going to talk a lot about it. In fact, they don't talk at all about it. It's as if it doesn't exist. It's called obstruction. That'll probably be the one they use as the basis, I'm hoping anyway, for the conspiracy charges that then can reach back into the areas that are not covered by statute of limitations. Because you can go back more than 10 years on statute of limitations stuff. We can get them for his real crimes. What kind of obstruction? Obstructing who? Well, Congress. Lying to them again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Every time he testified about Russia collusion. It's astonishing. Because we now know he knew there was no Russia collusion. We now know he knew there was no Russian hacking of those boards of elections. The last 3 months, we found out from those burn bags, that was actually a contractor sent by Hillary to hack those boards of elections, make it look Russian. Like there was no hacking? No. There were no Russian bots? No. We know that from the Twitter files. And James Comey knew, briefed by the FBI, I'm sorry, by the CIA by September of 2016, before Trump even won, that there was no Russia collusion. In fact, Russia was very alarmed about Hillary Clinton's accusations of collusion. She'd made up the whole thing. Comey knew it the whole time. So every time that this thug, because that's what he is, testified before Congress about the need to dig deep on Russia collusion and how many Trump documents they'd gotten and how they needed Trump to cooperate, he knew it was fake. He had the documents proving it was fake. When Congress tried rightly to get them, he lied and he obstructed. And that is why you will not catch the media talking about the obstruction charge of obstructing Congress, including those who genuinely wanted to investigate this. And the perjury is, of course, his lying to do the obstruction. But I want you to be reminded so you don't feel bad for James Comey at all. About what Comey's really like. This is him bragging about how he entrapped Mike Flynn, who was ultimately convicted for lying to the FBI. It's a form of perjury, ironically, one of the charges Comey faces. And this is back in the day when conservatives and Republicans trusted the FBI. Now remember, Comey's predicate for talking to Flynn, Trump's one of Trump's advisors, an advisor on Russia, was Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, which Comey knew was fake. There's nothing there. He knows it's Hillary, right? So his whole premise is a lie. But Mike Flynn was the first real victim of the FBI. And this is back when we still like the FBI, the right wing. We think they're good. We think they're law enforcement. We think it's still normal over there. And Mike Flynn, out of the goodness of his heart, agreed to talk to them. Comey thinks it's funny that he was able to make Mike Flynn into a felon.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the sit room. How did that happen?
Sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. The protocol, two men that all of us have perhaps increased appreciation for over the last 2 years. And in both of those administrations, there was process. And so if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over. And so we placed a call to Flynn, said, hey, we're sending a couple guys over. Hope you'll talk to them. He said, sure. Nobody else was there. They interviewed him in a conference room at the White House Situation Room, and he lied to them.
What did he think they were coming over there for?
I don't think he knew. We didn't tell him. Just said, we've got sending over a couple of agents. I want to ask you some questions. I didn't have this conversation. My deputy director did. But hope you got a few minutes. You can sit down and talk to them. And he said, sure.
Now, later on, one of those agents would say Flynn did not lie. But as we know, doesn't matter. It's all a kangaroo court. He thinks it's funny when you entrap people. The irony, again, he was asking about a phone call that Mike Flynn had with the Russian ambassador. Very normal for the transition. Everybody does that. That's not abnormal. But he used the Russia collusion hoax as the predicate to entrap Mike Flynn when he knew it was fake. He knew that Hillary, her campaign had broken two finance laws, one a felony and one a misdemeanor, to create the Russia collusion hoax documents. He didn't prosecute her. He went after Flynn. By the time he and Andrew McCabe were done, all eight of the masterminds of the Trump campaign that beat Hillary would be felons. All eight of them. What are the odds? Navarro, Bannon, Manafort. On and on and on. He's going to feel what that's like today. That's a good thing to keep our republic. Directors, assistant directors of the FBI, some directors of former directors of the Department of Homeland Security, assistant and sub-directors of the Department of Homeland Security, warning about the alarming change in the demographic composition of the illegal immigrant flood over Biden's border. I noted that, roughly the first year and a half of Biden opening the border, it was about who you'd expect, families, kids, women coming across that border. But that began to change around the end of 2022 and the beginning of 2023. And this is the alarming thing they found. A lot of these people still have security clearances, that the composition had changed, that it was overwhelmingly young males unaccompanied by females, young men with a nexus or connection to either crime, criminal gangs, or terrorism, or all three. They described them as an army. Over the years, many of you reacting to that report and similar ones have texted me saying, what is Biden? What are the Democrats going to use that army for? What is the purpose? I knew it wouldn't be good, whatever it was. I knew it wouldn't be good. Now we're getting an idea of the size of that army, the scope of it, and how many of them in the Trump era have gone to hide behind Democrats, kind of like, you know, roaches when you turn, you know, the lights on, they'll go scatter, and then you turn the lights off, they come back out. They've gone to hide behind Democrats and await the end of the Trump presidency. How many are we talking? And look, given that the former FBI and DHS directors warned about this, that this is an army of young men coming here for some reason from all over the world. I'm not saying, when I say army, I don't mean they all know each other and they're all in one army. I mean, it looks like an army because these are military aged men. They're from all over the world. Again, many of them, some of the world's worst criminals. Where are they? How many are there? Listen to this from FBI Director Kash Patel. Just what's on the streets of Chicago?
Places like Chicago. When I was there today with Todd, we learned that the Chicago city streets have 110,000 gang members. That's right. You heard me right. They had 1,200 shootings this year alone, 360 homicides. When politicians choose to side with those metrics and not their citizenry, thank God we have President Trump and this Department of Justice and this FBI going in there and crushing violent crime. And President Trump sent us into these cities quietly to set the stage, to set up for the National Guard, to see the success that we saw in Washington, D.C., in Memphis. The
FBI. Meanwhile, in California, Kash Patel announcing this morning that they have located and busted the war room, the headquarters of the Mexican mafia. That is a cartel out of Mexico. And they are disassembling it. Automatic weapons. You should see this place. It truly looks like a war room for a war. Official said the takedown hit a gang with roughly 500 members spread across six cliques that pay taxes to the Mexican mafia bosses. They're setting up here, folks. I told you they were. I told you they were. Meanwhile, I've been playing this audio in every hour because when things happen that we've never seen before in America, we note that and we roll with it heavily. This is Border Patrol Chief Greg Bovino, the target of the hit by the leader of that Latin Kings gang, another Mexican cartel gang located in Chicago. And by the way, he put it in writing and sent it out in a text. But the thing is, that text was initially mistranslated from Spanish, as the first $2,000 reward was for information. People took it to mean like information on where Bovino is. You see him a lot on TV. He was a leader during the LA riots. Now he's in Chicago. When they said information, they meant information extracted from Bovino after the kidnapping. That's what they meant, the $2,000 for information and 10 grand if you kill him. Here he is describing that.
There's going to be more incidents just like this because it's a war zone out there. Secretary Noem mentioned a bounty on the heads of federal agents. That $2,000 to kidnap, $10,000 to kill senior Border Patrol officials and senior ICE officials here in Chicago. Now, what happens between the kidnapping and the killing portion? That's something out of a third world country. Is this America?
Democrats don't care. They figure he's a Republican voter anyway, so who cares? Folks, this is the most shocking thing Greg Bovino says about the man who put a hit on his life, which, by the way, still stands.
It is indeed emblematic of what our brave law enforcement officers and agents are facing across the nation. That was an illegal alien that was comfortable enough living here in the United States, an illegal alien gang member, to put a bounty out like that. And when we look at what the governor or the mayor are talking about, they are the reason that gang members feel comfortable enough to do something like that.
Now, the good news, he says, is of the 110,000 gangster army in Chicago, illegal immigrants, they've picked up 1,500 of the worst in just a week.
When we talk about those bad people and bad things that are no longer walking the streets, almost 1,500 apprehensions in a month. A majority of those 1,500 are some extremely bad individuals, whether it's child rapists, trained Aragua gang members, terrorists, honest to goodness terrorists on the terrorist screening database, and many others. Those folks oftentimes are walking with impunity on the streets of Chicago. And that's why we're here. That's why we have this federal response here, is to take care of that. When our local elected politicians won't do the job, we will.
Now, with all this going on in Chicago and everything the Democrats have covered up here, how do you explain this to your sheeple, what they're pulling out of there? What's going on in Chicago? Because it looks a little scary. Wait till you hear what the Democrats, the lie the Democrats are telling to motivate their sheeple to violence on behalf of these illegal immigrant gangsters. This is going to blow your mind. Next. Okay, folks. J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois. Everything the Democrats do now, from Pritzker to the media, is designed to do two things. Cover up the level, the absolute destructive level of the criminals they imported, the criminal gangs their party is merging with, and the destruction they have wrought, and to motivate the 50% of Democrat women and 30% of Democrat men who just told Gallup in that poll 2 weeks ago that they have a diagnosed mental illness. But this, folks, this is so cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, it almost defies explanation. Governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, on Rachel Maddow with his deranged theory. ICE is not there in Illinois, you see, to break down that 110,000 strong criminal gangster army. And again, they're not all one army. They're different cartels. They don't always work together, but they're all there hiding behind the Democrats, bringing them their voters, their fentanyl, and most especially their 300,000 kids for sex trafficking. No, no, that's not why Trump is sending the National Guard to Chicago.
Well, the broader goal, I believe, is the militarization of major American cities before the 2026 elections.
Uh-huh.
They have dressed ICE and CBP in fatigues, put them in military gear, including with automatic weapons, and had them marching up and down major streets in downtown Chicago. It's a signal that they're trying to send. They think they can get people used to the idea. And next year, I fear that what they're going to do is deploy these folks eventually to polling places and say they're protecting the vote. Donald Trump knows that without shenanigans and without this, these breaches of the Constitution, he's going to lose the Congress.
I see.
And if he loses, he's going to immediately, in the aftermath of the election, do what he said he might do in 2020, which is use the military to confiscate the ballot boxes and count the votes, claiming that there's fraud. Remember, he's called up all 50 states' election data to the Department of Justice because they want to review all 50 states for fraud. And they won't tell you exactly what they're going to do, but I fear that these are all connected, and this militarization, even without National Guard or military troops on the ground, you're seeing ICE act like a militaristic.
He's a liar. Listen to what he says. He's sending, talking about Trump, sending ICE and the CPB, the Border Patrol, as if they've never been there. We've never done immigration enforcement. Folks, Google this. In fact, I screenshotted it when I did. Google's AI. How long has ICE been in Chicago with a building? Since 2003. Before 2003, ICE was called the INS. How long have they been deporting people on the ground in Chicago from a building? Since 1933. Even in Common Core math, that's almost 100 years. Before that, Google notes, they weren't called the INS, but there was still a federal deportation force in Chicago for an unknown number of years. So at least 100 years in Chicago. So what he says, Trump's sending them in. He's sending them in. No, they've been there for 100 years, honey. What's different? Radical Marxist Democrats have never physically attacked the officers. Illegal immigrants have never been led out to put hits on these agents before. The building's never been under attack before, and we've never had a situation where the police refuse to answer phone calls from 911, necessitating the sending in of the National Guard. That's what's changed. You know what's so funny about him telling that lie? If Trump was going to go see some ballot boxes and try to get some more seats or something in an election, he wouldn't go to Chicago. Kamala Harris got 78% of the vote in Chicago. Okay, Trump got 28%. No one would believe it if Chicago voted Republican. I wouldn't even believe it. Illinois, she won 55-44. It's a blue state. If this was Trump's strategy, he'd go to Wisconsin. He'd go to a swing state. That's how easy this is to pick apart. But folks, this is the kind of thing that moves mentally ill leftists to violence, and he knows it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.